contains adult content which could include sexual behavior or exploitation, misuse of alcohol, smoking, illegal drugs, violence, and dangerous behavior. This book includes content that may be distressing to readers and listeners, including descriptions of suicide or self-harm, abusive or discriminatory treatment of individuals, groups, religions, or communities. Chapter 1. The Letter. The letter that changed everything arrived on a Tuesday. It was an ordinary morning in April, and the air smelled of clean washing and cut grass. Harold Fry sat at the breakfast table as his wife, Maureen, put a handwritten envelope in front of him. Maureen was a small woman with short silver hair and a quick walk. When they first met, nothing had mattered to Harold more than making her laugh.
"Post for you," she said crossly. "The postmark says Berwick-upon-Tweed."
She sat down and put some toast on her plate. Harold stared at the envelope. It was pink and the handwriting was like a child's. It read, "Mr. H. Fry, 13 Fossbridge Road, Kingsbridge, South Hams, Devon." He opened it with a knife and pulled out the letter, which had clearly been written by a different hand. "Dear Harold, this may come to you as some surprise."
"Well?" said Maureen. "Good Lord, it's from Queenie Hennessy."
Maureen put some butter on her toast.
"Queenie who?"
"She worked with me at the brewery years ago. Don't you remember?"
"I don't see why I should remember her. Could you pass the jam?"
"She worked in finance," he said. "She was very good."
"That's the honey, Harold. Jam is red."
Harold passed her the jam and returned to the letter.
"She remembers you. She says hello."
Maureen's mouth closed into a small ball. She started to talk about something else and then stopped as she saw her husband sit straight in his chair.
"Harold, what is it?" she said. "Is something wrong?"
"It's cancer. Queenie is writing to say goodbye." He tried to say more, but could not find the words. His eyes were full of tears.
"I'm sorry," said Maureen after a minute.
Harold nodded, not moving or speaking, while she took the dirty plates to the kitchen. A few minutes later, he heard her start vacuuming the sitting room. After she had finished vacuuming, Maureen went upstairs to David's room and stared at its net curtains. She always kept the room clean because she was waiting for their son to come back, and she did not know when that would be. Men did not understand what it was like to be a mother or the pain of loving a child even when he was gone. Maureen thought of Harold and his pink letter, and she wanted to talk to their son. Harold got some paper and a pen from a drawer. He did not know what to write. In the end, his reply was very short. "Dear Queenie, thank you for your letter. I am very sorry. Best wishes, Harold Fry." Putting the letter into an envelope, he closed it quickly and wrote the address of St. Bernardine's Hospice on the front.
"I'm going to the post box," he called to Maureen.
It was just past 11 o'clock. He put on his jacket, tie, and boating shoes and opened the front door. Maureen was suddenly beside him.
Will you be long?
I'm only going to the end of the road. She kept looking at him with her green eyes, and he did not know what to tell her. Bye, Maureen, he said, finally, shutting the door and walking down the hill towards the post box. He waved to their neighbor, Rex, who was in his front garden. Rex was a short man with a round body. His wife had died 6 months ago, and he liked to talk about her a lot.
You should at least listen, Maureen always told Harold.
Are you going for a walk? Said Rex.
Harold held up the envelope.
Do you need anything posting? He said. Nobody writes to me, not since Elizabeth died, replied Rex.
Harold stared at the sky, wanting to avoid the conversation.
Well, I must get on, he said, turning in the direction of the post box.
He thought of the words that he had written to Queenie and how weak they were. He thought of himself returning to the home where he and Maureen had lived for 45 years and life being the same except for Queenie dying. Suddenly, he was fighting tears again. He paused at the post box and could not let the envelope go.
Well, it's a nice day, he thought.
I've got nothing else to do, so why not walk to the next one?
He turned the corner of Fossbridge Road before he could change his mind. It was not like Harold to make a quick decision. Since he had retired from being a sales representative at the brewery, days went by and nothing changed. He just got fatter and lost more hair. He slept badly at night and sometimes did not sleep at all. When he arrived at the next postbox, Harold paused again. He had started something and he did not know what it was. But now that he was doing it, he was not ready to finish. Why not walk to the post office instead? First, he took out Queenie's letter and read it again. She remembered him after all these years, but he had just lived out his ordinary life trying to forget. Why had he let 20 years pass without trying to find her? When she left, he had not tried to stop her. He had not followed her. He had not even said goodbye. He continued walking, past the newsagents and the butcher and the Old Creek pub. When he finally reached the post office, he walked on without stopping. He walked until the shops finished and the road went between houses that were built of Devon stone. It was lunchtime now, and he was beginning to feel hungry. He saw a petrol station ahead and decided to buy something to eat. Then he would find the next postbox. The girl at the petrol station wore a badge on her shirt that said, "Happy to help."
"Any petrol?"
she asked, as he gave her the money for a sandwich.
"No, I'm just passing to post a letter to someone who I used to know. She has cancer."
The girl nodded.
"My aunt had cancer. You have to have faith that a person can get better. If you have faith, you can do anything."
Harold stared at the girl, who suddenly seemed to be standing in a circle of light.
"I don't mean religious faith," she went on. "I mean trusting what you don't understand and believing that you can change things."
"And did having faith help your aunt get better?" he asked.
"She said that it gave her hope when everything else was gone."
"Does anyone work here?"
said a man impatiently, behind Harold.
Harold quickly paid for his sandwich and went to the door.
"You have to have faith."
Were they the words that the girl had used? Harold was 65 and his body was beginning to get old. He felt stiff in the mornings. Sometimes he had a bit of chest pain and ringing in his ears. So what was this sudden wave of energy? He turned towards the A381 and promised himself that he would stop at the next postbox. He was leaving Kingsbridge. The road became narrower and branches covered the sky. The sea lay behind him, and before him, to the north, rose the high ground of Dartmoor. After that came more hills, the Blackdown Hills, the Mendip Hills, the Pennines, the Yorkshire Dales. And at the end, far to the north, close to Scotland, was the town of Berwick-upon-Tweed and the sea. But there, just across the road, was a phone box, and next to it, a post box. Harold's journey was at its end. His feet slowed. He thought of all the things that he had lost. He thought of the son who did not speak to him, and the wife whom he had let down. And now here was a letter from a woman who 20 years ago had shown herself to be a real friend. It was not enough just to write. He had left his mobile at home, but he could use the payphone. He went into the phone box, took out Queenie's letter, and found the address and phone number. After 10 seconds, a voice answered.
"St. Bernardine's Hospice, good afternoon. I'd like to speak to Miss Queenie Hennessy. She's one of your patients."
There was a long pause. Then the woman said,
"I'm sorry, but Miss Hennessy is asleep. Can I take a message?"
"Tell her that Harold Fry is coming. All she has to do is wait. I'm going to save her. I will keep walking, and she must keep living. Will you say that?" The voice said that she would. And did he know the visiting hours and where to park?
"I'm not in a car. I'm walking from South Devon up to Berwick-upon-Tweed."
"I'm sorry," said the voice. "What did you say?"
"I'm walking," shouted Harold. "And tell Queenie that this time I won't let her down."